Connecticut Republicans are focused on extending the gas tax and funding state relief programs. Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelora says his party is focused on the Essential Worker Bonus HERO program and the Low-Income Housing Emergency Assistance Program during today's special session.
The Democrats are more interested in bumper sticker headlines than actually substantively putting a policy together that's going to work. So just like with Hero Pay, where there were broken promises and we're scrambling to try to fix a broken program that they created, they are creating another broken program with LIHEAP that people are going to be very upset when they find out it's fallen short.
Republicans say they will support the measures Governor Lamont and the Democrats offer today because any financial relief is beneficial for residents. Hi, happy Monday. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Connecticut utilities will assist with ratepayer relief. Five New Haven police officers have been arrested after a man in custody became paralyzed, and there's a significant turnover of personnel at the State General Assembly. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut officials have reached a deal with the state's two largest electric utilities to provide some short-term relief to electricity customers this winter. The deal with Eversource and United Illuminating includes a $10 a month bill credit beginning on January 1st, WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
Governor Ned Lamont says the deal also includes a contribution of about $10 million from Eversource to a program called Operation Fuel that provides assistance to low and moderate income customers struggling to pay their bills.
We're still in discussions with the UI. They're going to do a minimum of $3 million. So I think you're going to see we're tripling or almost quadrupling what we're able to provide for Operation Fuel. I think those are ways that we can provide almost immediate support for people.
Attorney General William Tong, who was also involved in the negotiations, had urged the utilities to contribute more. He'd asked for 10% of their earnings, which would be about $40 million for Eversource and about $8 million for UI. He says that would have better reflected the percentage increase their customers will pay this winter. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Five New Haven officers involved in the arrest of Randy Cox, who was paralyzed from the chest down after being improperly restrained, have been arrested and charged. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Four of the five officers involved had initially claimed qualified immunity from prosecution. Lawyers for the officers say no clearly established legal standard was violated. They blame Cox's own actions for his injury. The five officers are now being charged with reckless endangerment and cruelty to persons. New Haven Police Chief Carl Jacobson says the charges are unfortunate but necessary.
Well, I think it's hard to see officers charged, but it's also part of what we've been talking about since the beginning. We need to be transparent and accountable, period. And that's what is going on today.
Cox's family filed the lawsuit seeking $100 million from the city of New Haven. The lawsuit says the officers used excessive force, assaulted Cox, inappropriately denied him medical care, and caused him emotional distress. Cox's lawyers say the lawsuit is unaffected by today's arrest. Cox's June arrest was for illegal possession of a gun, charges that were later dropped. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Soccer players who dream of joining a professional team can shoot their shot with the Hartford Athletic next month. The United Soccer League team will hold open tryouts for players 16 and up. Connor McLinn remembers trying out just a few years ago after he got a tip from his brother's agent. He was studying at Siena College in New York at the time.
I'm lucky enough to say that my story is kind of just an example for others. You know, someone who kind of really didn't believe in themselves and their abilities, but just given an opportunity and then just trying to run with it.
McLinn is now one of three players officially on Athletic's roster for 2023. Tryouts for hopefuls like him are at Sports World in East Windsor, Connecticut on December 12th and 13th. With a recent shakeup in Connecticut's General Assembly, Republicans claim they're officially the party of the state's middle class. That's after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The MTA has delayed the rollout of a contactless fare payment system on LIRR and Metro North trains. Riders may not have access to that system until 2025, which is about 4 years later than project officials initially planned for. The MTA introduced One Metro New York on subways and buses back in 2019. The project is meant to replace the Metro card, allowing riders to pay with the tap of a smartphone, smartwatch, or bank card. Issues with installation could drive up the project budget by over $120 million. Connecticut State Police report that they've responded to at least 338 accidents over the holiday weekend, including three fatal accidents in Milford, Wallington, and West Haven. Four people were killed in those accidents. In addition, they've made 36 DUI arrests and have issued 247 speeding tickets. State police have said they'll issue a final tally today. A group of police officers who helped deliver a baby at a Long Island home over the weekend included a sergeant who's helped deliver five babies over the past 5 years. Suffolk County Sergeant John Eric Negron joined three other officers after a woman went into labor at her Shirley home on Saturday. Back in August of 2017, Negron responded when a Mount Sinai woman unexpectedly went into labor and gave birth at her home. Negron cleared fluid from the infant's airway and the boy started breathing. The sergeant is now that child's godfather. Mark Pasniokas is the Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. He sat down with WSHU's Ebong Udama to discuss the small shakeups in power that could lead to big changes in the Connecticut General Assembly.
This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. You can read the stories we feature at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Hi, Mark. What's the big change that we'll be seeing in the state's new General Assembly next year?
The balance of power is completely the same. Or I take that back. The Democrats picked up one seat in each chamber. But the bottom line is the same. The Democrats remain in firm control of the Connecticut General Assembly. But there's a significant turnover in personnel. It's the third consecutive election cycle that we've seen this kind of change. And so there's been kind of a quiet revolution here in that almost two-thirds of the Senate and more than half of the House are people who were elected since 2018. So that brings in a lot of new fresh blood. Connecticut, even though there is a significant pay increase that will be effective on January 4th when the next term begins, it's still very much a citizen legislature, you know, where most of the people work outside the building. And this new group is going to bring, you know, another diverse collection of occupations from outside the building. We're going to have a physician and another one in the state Senate. We're going to have somebody who's written cookbooks. We're going to have somebody who worked for the Army and then retired as an intelligence officer for the Department of Homeland Security. And as always, we must have lawyers. There are four more lawyers and a bunch of educators.
And also, we have some union reps who are now...
Very much so. And that will be interesting. You know, one of them is Jan Hockadel, who is still the president of the AFT in Connecticut. They're broader than just teachers, but the AFT originally stood for American Federation of Teachers. And she's also a national officer in the AFT. She will join some very strong union people who are already here, including Senator Julie Kushner of Danbury, who was the UAW regional director for years before she retired and then was elected to the General Assembly in that big class of 2018, when the Democrats took firm control of the Senate after 2 years in which they had been tied. So, yeah, that's something that, you know, the business groups will be a little bit nervous about. The question is, you know, how will the agenda get more aggressive on behalf of labor? Labor has had significant victories during Governor Lamont's first term, a bill that will result in a $15 minimum wage next year, the creation of a family and medical leave program. They passed a captive audience bill, which limits how businesses can compel employees to sit and listen to their arguments against unionization, among other things. There was a bill that passed the Senate last session that didn't go anywhere in the House, and that would have created unemployment benefits for strikers. So, you know, we'll see what this new group of labor folks wants to push in 2023.
Another interest in realignment is the fact that the Republican Party seems to be the party of the working class now. They seem to have lost all their the lower Fairfield County seats that they used to have that represented the high end of high income earners.
As Vinny Candelora, the House Republican leader, said to me, we are officially the party of the middle class, that the Democrats are going to be governing from the economic extremes, representing some of the richest census tracts in America and some of the poorest census tracts in America, as well as certainly a fair amount of diverse suburbs in between the rich and the poor. But yes, the question is, how will that change things in the General Assembly? If there is a push to raise the top rates for the wealthiest, will the Republicans do what they historically have done and argue against that on the basis of saying it's bad for economic growth? And in fact, it may encourage some of Connecticut's wealthiest taxpayers to look for homes elsewhere.
Very interesting. So it's going to make for some interesting legislation coming up in this new session that we're about to go into in January.
And it's funny because the Republicans traditionally were sort of a check with this governor. This governor, by Connecticut standards, is really something of a fiscal centrist in that he is vehemently opposed to raising any income tax rates. He says Connecticut does not need it. He doesn't think it's good for economic growth and the diversity of the tax base. And so there could be some interesting dynamics as to what will be the alliances if the left of the Democratic Party really decides this is the time to push for higher tax rates on the very wealthy, perhaps to match Massachusetts. Massachusetts, by referendum, passed a tax increase on households with more than $1 million in income. And right now, Massachusetts, their overall income tax rate is lower than Connecticut's top rate. But these are the kinds of things that give people ideas in a General Assembly session as to, you know, what can be tweaked, what can be changed to give the state a more progressive tax structure.
And also we have a Republican in 2014 returning as a Democrat in 2022.
Yes, and he was the story in 2014 because when he declared his candidacy, he was 19 years old. He still didn't have his driver's license. I don't know what it is about this generation of kids. They're very slow to get their driver's licenses. But he was elected at the age of 20. He was defeated 2 years later by a Democrat. And then he really grew disenchanted with the Republican Party, mainly over President Trump, his rhetoric about banning Muslims, and then how the president reacted after the violent march in Charlottesville. He's told me once that it was also the paucity of Republicans in Connecticut who spoke out. There were some. You know, Len Fasano, who was the Senate Republican leader at the time, was certainly outspoken in his opinion that Donald Trump was really not fit in some ways. But in any event, Andre Baumgartner is coming back at the age of 28. He's had quite a month of November. He was elected to come back as a Democrat, and he also was married the day after Thanksgiving.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much, Mark. Always a pleasure talking with you.
For for the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime you like online at WSHU.org, or you can take us on the go with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you'd like to share with us, please feel free to send us an email. It's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.